Fourth, if always assuming that a person wants to do God's will, if that which I am being inclined or urged to do deprives me of peace, confidence in God, even confidence in myself, and the spiritual joy I had before I had these thoughts, or had read this book, or had heard this conference. For some unaccountable reason, for example, a person says, I just read a book. It was thrilling, but it bothers me. Are you trying to do God's will? Of course I am. Well, without going into a long brown study as to just what in that book is wrong, if it deprives you of the peace of mind you had before you read the book, the odds are there is something in that book which is a temptation. Fifth, if correspondingly my habitual intention is to do God's will, if the thoughts on my mind or the persons in my life or the circumstances in which I find myself cause me anxiety, worry, or sadness, the odds are that the cause of my worry and anxiety and sadness is at root a temptation. Number six, if the thoughts I have or the inclinations favor my own selfish satisfaction, the odds are that that which I am inclined or urged to do is a temptation. It is not a divine inspiration. The evil spirit always seeks to have the person satisfy himself selfishly. In other words, temptation to selfishness is from the evil spirit. Number seven, if whatever the thoughts or desires I have cause me doubt, I am less sure about what I have been, especially in matters of my faith and morality. I am now less sure than I was before. I may put down the source of that doubt to the evil spirit. So much then, very briefly, for some practical norms of recognizing demonic temptations. Now, signs of inspiration. Again, the question arises, how can I tell? I have these thoughts. I've been doing this reading. There are certain persons who enter my life, and they give rise to certain sentiments, outlook, thoughts, and inclinations. I'm really not sure whether the person, place, or thing, and the ideas in my mind, and the desires stimulated in my will are from God. Well, I should be able to tell. Here are some signs. First, I may be sure and secure in believing that it is an inspiration if that about which I am wondering is nevertheless according to church's teaching. If it is, it is a sign of a divine inspiration. Another sign, it is a practice or question, do I know whether that which I am being urged or inclined to do has been practiced by the saints? If it has, the odds are it is an inspiration, though I am not yet a saint. Nevertheless, I want to become a saint. One way to become a saint is by imitating the saintly men, women, and children in the church's history. No doubt there are some practices of the faith that are not meant for everyone. However, it is a very good custom to read Lives of the Saints regularly, and I would say daily, especially those whose state of life and experience somewhat conforms to my own. And the more of these I read, and I have now for some 40 years, tried to read something from some saint every day. That's a lot of reading. What happens? You gradually learn to live in the company of holy people. And while it's nice to have saintly people immediately in your company, well, we don't always have that luxury. The next best thing is to read the lives of the saints. The third sign of inspiration, if what I am doing or inclined to do is according to the practice of good Catholics. In other words, I'm not sure whether this is from God. Are there good Catholics, however, that do it? There are. Very well, I have a secure norm in following people whose lives of virtue I admire. Fourth, and for religious, this is an infallible sign. Does it correspond to my rule of life? That's why, quite frankly and simply, the Church goes to such pains to make sure that a rule of life for a religious institute, is approved by the Holy See. Because if it is, then I have a ready, available norm for knowing if it is God's will or not. And that is also wise for those who are not religious, that they have a rule of life to follow. Yesterday, after our executive committee meeting for the Institute on Religious Life, I was taken to Kenosha, Wisconsin. I was there until after 11 last night, conferring with the people who are learning the apostolate for family consecration, and got back in time to prepare my notes for today. Well, the one thing that I have been telling lay people, not unlike religious, you are to have a program or rule of life. Spares you a lot of time, a lot of trouble, a lot of worry. I want to do something. Does it correspond to what I'm supposed to do? Number five. Do the ideas or the inclinations to which I am subject and about which I am wondering, are they from God or not? Do they correspond to the charism for religious or their founder? And I would say for lay people in the world too, because even though they don't belong to a religious institute, they are to, however, follow in the charism of some great spiritual master, like Benedict, or Francis, or Ignatius. That's why all religious institutes over the centuries have had their lay counterparts. And that's why every religious community in the church today should have its lay counterpart that will offer those who are not, say, religious under vows, a tried and secure method of recognizing God's inspiration. We should all have some program of life, so we just don't coast or drift or wander. I cannot exaggerate the importance of this. This is not just for religious, though sadly it's not for all religious today. The main reason, the main single reason, and there are thousands of other reasons, but I think the main single reason why there's been so much disintegration in religious communities is that the members of those communities do not have a set program or plan or rule of life against which then religious can determine whether what they would like to do is from God or not. Does it correspond to my program of life? Lay people, that is one word that after 35 years that I've been ordained, and by next Friday the 35 years will be accomplished, there is one word that identifies people who are living a good life, and that is order, an orderly life. Why? I should have some plan, some order, based on the church's teaching and following in the footsteps of some great spiritual master. Whatever I teach, whatever I touch, I don't footnote it always, but it is always and invariably within the ambit of the spirituality of St. Ignatius. Whether you realize it or not, you're being indoctrinated. Except that Ignatius himself, being, in the tradition of the great masters of the spiritual life before him, he is therefore giving us the church's directives. Now, number 6, the signs of inspiration. And here I have 7. Always assuming that I want to do God's will, that premise is indispensable. I honestly want to do God's will. All right. I'm not sure now what I want to decide, whether the ideas and inclinations I have are from God. They are from God if they give what? First, peace. Second, joy. Third, tranquility. Fourth, confidence. Fifth, resignation. Sixth, patience. Seventh, certitude. Each of those could be further subdivided into 7 more divisions. Peace, joy, tranquility, confidence, resignation, patience, and certitude. When God or his angels visit the soul, remember, the soul that wants to do his will, it would be, to coin an expression, folly on the part of God to not give peace or joy or tranquility or confidence. He loves us, and if we're trying to do his will, we love him. And how do you treat your friends? This is a friend, dealing with a friend. These are the seven, well, how many colors are there to the spectrum? Seven? Vaidigyor. Violet, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange, and red. Seven. These are the seven colors to the spectrum of divine grace. To believe this and act on it is to have come into a great treasure. The precondition is up to you. Try to do God's will. You honestly try to do God's will, and you can relax. Whatever enters my mind, but there are a thousand times a thousand things that enter my mind. No matter. Universal. Whatever enters your mind that gives you peace and the rest, you can be assured it is God dealing with you as a friend. This sixth norm, as you can see immediately, is a broad-ranging one, and it is an internal, subjective, psychologically identifiable norm on which, with God's grace, I've been trying to live over the years. All I can tell you is, it works. Now a seventh norm, and we're still on the signs of inspiration. Does it call for sacrifice, which is the opposite of a temptation? If it calls for sacrifice, the odds are it comes from God. So leave it to God to give us a chance to adore. We use the words without a second thought, His adorable will. My friends, that's the most important and constant act of adoration we're called upon to make, to sacrifice our will to His. And that is adoration of the highest order. That's what surrender of my will to God's will is. It is adoration. And what adoration that is. Finally, the obverse, you might say, of selfish satisfaction. Does what I am inclined or inspired, or I think I am inspired to do, call for selflessness? If it does, the odds are it is from God. And this is where other people are such great and constant help in assuring us that something is God's will. They'll put demands on our selflessness. Leave it to other people. Frequently, and some even heroically. The last thing I wanted to do last night was to go to Kenosha, Wisconsin. And as we stepped outside, my driver, who picked me up, I asked him, is that your car on the right? No, it's the one on the left. It wasn't a car, it was a van. Now, vans can be comfortable. This one was not. As he said, it's still running. He had bought it in 1971. When I got to Kenosha, I sat down to a meal, immediately papers were spread out, and we talked till after 11. Fortunately, I was able to get some sleep. Got up before I left. Well, there were three long-distance phone calls in the interest of the people who invited me. And I've got a class at 10 o'clock. He smiled and then proposed something else. And finally I left and finished what I was doing for the persons who had invited me on the bumpy van. And also wrote the quiz for tomorrow's class. It's on Inter Marifica, one of the documents of Vatican II on the media. Well, all kinds of calls for selflessness. God must be around somewhere. And the more things you like to do, and the more things you hate to do, the easier it is to recognize a divine inspiration. God is constantly calling us to do what we don't like and to give up what we do like. So much on how to distinguish temptations and inspirations.